Welcome back to another episode of GWA. I'm Heike.
I'm Neg. And we're girls with anxiety. Hi, guys.
Hi.
I'm excited for you guys to hear this episode.
Oh, yeah. It's a great one.
Yeah. We have a really cool guest on, but always we want to check in with your host.
Yeah. But before we get started, please subscribe, rate, review.
Yes.
It helps us out a lot. Also, follow us on Instagram at GirlsWAnxietyPodcast. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to our newsletter. Our first one came out last Thursday, and it was really cute. And it will only come out once a month on the first Thursday of the month, or like the first Thursday of our episode.
That's but you'll not confusing see it in your anything.
Exactly. But yeah, subscribe, link in our bio. But anyways.
Yeah, so back to the more pressing questions. How are you? How are
you? I'm good. We are recording this a little early because Jake and I are going to Arizona for the weekend to just get out of the city for a little bit, to go camping. We haven't set like precise locations yet. So, you know, I'll update you when we get back on our next episode. But yeah, we're going to Arizona. I'm pretty sure we're going to Sedona. Like that's like number one spot. But other than that, I'm not sure where we're going. But
and you haven't been to Sedona yet, right?
I've been to Sedona when I was like
little.
Eight years old.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go. I've heard it's amazing.
Yeah, I remember it was really beautiful, but being an 8 or 10 year old, of course,
cannot
I had, like,
appreciate it all.
Yeah, and I had like attitude problem or whatever, because there's a photo of me and I'm just like, look so pissed. I don't know why. I'm like in the most like magical place ever and I'm just like smirking, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's like being a kid.
Yeah.
Understanding that you're actually on a trip and doing something fun.
I know, such a brat. But yeah, how are you?
I'm good. Just getting stuff together now. We're starting the baby's room, so that's really exciting. And
that's so exciting.
Yeah, just dealing with heartburn, so I can't have my tomatoes anymore. But otherwise, that's not too much of a thing to give up, so I'll be doing okay.
Yeah.
I take it as my body is good on its vitamins from tomatoes for now and call it a day on that. But I know that you have a new favorite product that you excited about. And I think that you should share that really quick because on our last episode, we talked about like how we have dermatitis.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And eczema and just like skin stuff. And you've seen like a good improvement, and I think it would probably help some people.
Yeah, I was telling Neg, I was like ranting and raving about this new product. I mean, I've only been using it for like a week now, so I can't give you guys like a solid review, but it's from Tower 28. I got another product because I'm just obsessed with them, and it's the SOS spray, and it's helped so much with my dermatitis and my chapped lips. I'm not sure if it's because like Neg also told me to stop using my new night cream, and that's also like it's also helped subside my dermatitis, but I've been using it day and night and it's has worked wonders on it. So if you guys are having any skin issues, whether
you want to do like a little experiment.
Yeah, like dermatitis or eczema.
That's a great little thing to try, and you know, obviously that's kind of like, I think like the trial and error of like skin stuff. It's like, sometimes you just have to try different stuff to see what actually works for you.
Definitely. When I first started with my, I don't know, I'd say journey of trying to like help my dermatitis a few years back, I was using so many products just to like help reduce with redness. And I think that also
made it
probably
worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, sure. Something just, like, so simple. Like, I think I was using colloidal silver at one point, and that was helping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I went with you to buy it.
Yep. Yeah. So I've used a lot of stuff, and this is the Power 28 SOS spray has been the most helpful, and it's worked the quickest.
The price is really nice on it, too.
Yeah, and there's, like, you could get a small bottle, I think, for $12. And yeah. I think the big bottle that I got was $24. So,
yeah, the price on them is really reasonable, which I like, especially, like, because skincare stuff is not cheap all the time.
Especially since it's clean, too. Mm-hmm. I don't love the smell, but it doesn't linger.
Okay, that's nice.
So, and you are adding, like, other products, like, you're layering other products on top of it, but, yeah, it doesn't linger.
Do you put that on, so you spray it, like, you wash your face, dry your face, put that on, and then let it dry and put on, like, your moisturizer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I cleanse my face, and then I spray it on, because if you leave your face damp and wet, the product soaks in more.
And then once it's all soaked in, you'll put on your other stuff. Or do you put on your other stuff with it still wet? Okay.
Yeah. I don't, like, let it dry completely, even though it says it does, but I'm, like, layering other stuff and not moisturizer first. So if you're just putting moisturizer on, like, right after, then wait for it to dry. But I have, like, other serums that I put on.
Got it. Okay. So then all of that kind of goes in at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But cool. I'm really happy with it. I feel like it will be a new staple.
Did you ever go to the dermatologist for your dermatitis? I can't remember.
Yes. And they're like, here's a steroid cream. Here's a prescription for it. And then I was like, okay.
Is that the one that was really expensive?
Yes. And then I called the pharmacist to be like, hey, is my prescription ready? And she's like, your insurance doesn't cover it. And I was like, okay, so how much is it going to be? And she legit started laughing. And she's like, $1,000. And I was like, no, thank you.
Oh, my God.
So then that's when I went down the pathway of
trying to figure it out.
Yeah, figuring out myself and trying it like in a natural approach as opposed to steroids. Yeah.
Wow, wow, wow. Yeah, I would say, like, if any of our listeners have the ability to go see a dermatologist, like, even just going and, like, running stuff. I'm, like, such a, like, cheerleader for, like, asking, be like, okay, what do you think about this? And what do you think about this? Like, going and being like, what is this exactly? Because a lot of these skin issues look like other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone to the dermatologist and be like, okay, I'm pretty sure I have this. And they're like, yeah, no. Like, that's not what that is.
I know.
It's this. So I definitely would I think it's, like, super good to, like, go get, like, okay, this is what I do have. All right, I might not go down the route that you guys are suggesting as far as medicine, but at least you have, like, you know, just some, like, clear line of, like, okay, at least I know what it is.
Yeah, and I thought it was just around my lips. And then when he, like, took a magnifying glass to, like, look at my face, he's like, no, it's, like, on your chin, like, by your nose. So it was something that I couldn't see, but he saw, like, no, like, this is what you have. And then it, like, went to my eye, you know, just all that fun stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, that was because you had an allergic reaction from the pillows.
Yeah, but then it was the dermatitis under my eye. Because, like, when I went to Portland, I came home with the same thing. And when I went to, like, a work party, I came back with the same thing.
So painful looking, too.
Skin issues, guys.
Well, yay for Tower 28 SOS spray.
Yes.
I guess you'll keep us updated regardless.
I will. Sorry, that was, like, a really big update on my skin. But it does give me anxiety when you can't, like, figure it out and you're so uncomfortable and it's on your face. And luckily, I'm not, like, seeing a bunch of people right now because I'm just, like, at home. But, like, I don't know. It's self-conscious. Or, like,
you get, absolutely.
You know, People look at your mouth when you talk, so.
Yeah, and it's your face. Like, you can't, like, just put a t-shirt over it.
No, I mean, like, I could put a mask over it right now because that's what I'm doing. But, yeah. But any, like, new update with you and products or what?
No. I really don't, you and I are so opposite in that way. Like, I just don't use, like, I don't have any products. Like, it's, I'm just not, it's never been my, like, thing, I guess, which is, like, why I always come to you, I think, for, like, the questions or whatnot, because it's definitely such your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I just, yeah, I'm a coconut oil girl, and that's about it.
No, I love it. I mean, like, I think also, too, like, why I've become so invested in skincare is also to like, help ease my mind with, like, anxiety. Like, I could just, like, sit on YouTube and watch a ton of skincare and beauty and makeup videos, and I just kind of, like, lose my mind into that. And, like, you know, it's like when you watch, like, mindless TV, kind of, you know?
Right.
So it's just, like, a little outlet, and, like, having that routine is just something to, like, look forward to.
No, it's definitely, like, a ritual for sure.
Yeah.
Like, you wake up and that's what you do.
Yeah. Everyone has their own, like, rituals, and, like, this is mine, and I love skincare, and it, I just wish I had all the money for it, but I am very selective what I use.
Mm-hmm. I do feel like you find, like, things that aren't, that are great quality, but not budget killers.
Yeah,
you
for
know,
sure.
Like, you definitely do. It's not like your products are like, oh, this jar was $500 and,
oh my God,
you know,
no.
Like, so I definitely think you should work on, like, having, like, a, just, like, a little page of, like, all of your, on the website, because I think that you do have, like, a ton of good things that everybody could afford, like, at any stage in their life. Like,
maybe that could be, like, the next newsletter.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
If you guys are interested. If you're not, just let me know.
They're interested.
We could give two shits about your skincare.
Everybody loves skincare.
It's like that meme.
Not everybody does it.
It's like that. It's like that meme that was going around when it was like, so everyone was asking, like, what my skincare routine is. And it's like, nobody
no
asked you. Anyways, we got so sidetracked about skincare. We are so, so, so excited about this guest.
Yeah, she's really cool.
Yeah, we learned a lot. Her name is Paige West, and she was such a delight to have on. I think you guys will find her very informative.
And it's interesting.
Yeah.
Totally a different way to look at life or look at the process of what she does.
100%. Yeah. It was a lot of fun talking with her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well.
I hope you guys enjoy.
Yeah, we hope you enjoy, and we'll talk to you later.
I love you.
Love you.
Paige West is a transformational doula specializing in astrological insights, holding space for all birthing people, advocating for mental health care, and intentional psychedelic experiences. Through her journey as a doula, Paige began to expand her offerings to include personal immersive sessions for clients using a variety of tools and sacred medicines for healing and growth. Paige works with various psychedelics and utilizes ceremony and ritual to invoke a deeper connection to the self and source. Based in Northern California, Paige holds sacred space for her clients near and far and offers retreats that focus on the group and individual's needs and care. Welcome to the podcast, Paige.
Welcome, Paige. So happy to have you.
Hi, ladies.
On.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. How are you?
I am well. I'm currently on the road, seeing clients over the week. I am in LA, but I drove from the Bay yesterday, so I'm just on the move right now, getting COVID tested like once a week. But it's good. It's definitely an interesting time, you know, collectively, and I just feel super grateful that I'm sort of needed at the moment. I think a lot of people are really interested in diving deeper into healing work of all kinds, and some people aren't working. So that also kind of allows more freedom to focus on these types of things. So, yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Now, I kind of wanted to get into, but I want to talk about really quick, like, are you in LA doing doula work right now, or individual?
So, yeah. So I'm doing transformational doula work at the moment. I really stand under that doula umbrella because working with sacred medicines and psychedelic medicines is, we've had a long journey with them. Some are more connected to indigenous people, and I don't call myself a shaman or even a guide. So even when I'm working with psychedelic medicines, I still refer to myself as a doula because I am holding space for that person. I'm offering comfort measures. I'm holding space for whatever feelings they might have. So at the moment, I am working with psychedelic medicines. I'm seeing a few. I have a two-on-one and then a one-on-one immersion.
Wow, that's awesome. How did you get started?
Totally. Oh my gosh. It's like, it's definitely a journey, if you will. I had my son and had a really profound birth experience. I was lucky enough to birth him at home. That was my choice. I have a little bit of anxiety around hospitals. So I'm so happy they're there. I'm very much a both and person. I appreciate a holistic perspective. And I also really believe in science and data, which is an important thing during this climate we're in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that being said, I had a very profound birth experience, and I kind of felt called to be a doula. It totally changed my life, as having children does. In whatever way it happens for you, it's going to happen. It's going to be a big, you know, that crossing that line from maiden to mother. And so I started working in the birth community. I got my certification to be full spectrum, which is when you're both a birth doula and a postpartum. I also felt really called to working with kind of the underbelly of doula work, which is termination, loss, you know, holding space for women who are incarcerated and in that environment while giving birth. I'm a little bit of a like shadow worker. I traverse the darkness.
Yeah.
I don't know if easily is the right word, but I do like the intensity. And so I was working as a doula, and my husband and I have been together for 10 years. He has suffered from substance abuse disorder, and he had a relapse when our son was about two. And it was very challenging for our family, as you might imagine. I also really feel called to addressing the stigma around addiction. But anyway, he did not feel like he wanted to take the sort of traditional rehab 12-step modality. And we had like an old conversation. We remembered this old conversation, and it's so interesting how plant medicine works in that way. It like plants a little seed and then it crosses your path at the perfect time. So even if it was a challenging experience, it really like led us to such a beautiful place. And he went down to Mexico to embark on a journey with the medicine Iboga, which is an African root bark that interrupts withdrawal symptoms within a day or so.
Wow.
Of course, it's not legal here, but there are all types of clinics in Mexico, Canada, the Netherlands, the UK. It's definitely more accessible over the last decade. When he came back, he was completely transformed. I followed suit because I was like, I need to relate to you now. Like, you're like, it was almost like he was a little boy. It was so trippy, you guys. Like, Yeah, I can't even describe it. But anyway, I felt called. I did their psycho-spiritual offering, which doesn't attend to addiction, but it's just for people who are interested in the experience for other reasons. And I dove in, I connected with the director that worked there of the kind of like addiction department. And she's also a medicine woman. And she sort of became my teacher. She took me under her wing. And I mean, the rest is history. I started really diving deep into the medicine and working with many teachers. And now it's been a little over 7 years. And Wow. And now I'm offering it for other people and kind of diving in. So that wasn't awesome. Too long. Sorry.
No, that was me. I was like getting chills when you were talking about it. Aww. I just love it so much because it's like there's no like wrong or right way to heal yourself.
Absolutely.
And to like kick an addiction. And if it's to do something that's spiritual and with medicine, like I'm totally for it. Like it's, of course it wouldn't be legal here in the United States. Cause like, why would it be? Because they make money off of people.
You can't monetize something that you maybe do once a year. If that many people do it just a few times and it's done. I do like to be very clear that these medicines aren't, you know, a magic pill or a cure. You know, integration is really my biggest focus, integration and harm reduction. You know, I think in the world of addiction, harm reduction is really important. And then, of course, the integration piece of the psychedelic experience when you're utilizing it in an intentional way and for healing. It's about taking this big abstract experience and then how do you incorporate those feelings and that sense of wholeness maybe, or a connection to source or a connection to yourself. And how do you bring that into your daily life? So, you know, these medicines create neuroplasticity in the brain. And so there's a period of time where it's really important to utilize that afterglow and infuse your life with a new, you know, routine or ritual, whatever feels good for you, movement, you know, maybe nutrition, you know, it's endless.
And with harm reduction, do you mean in the sense of like how people are like dealing with themselves throughout that process, like versus especially going back to the regular life? It's like, is that kind of what you mean in that aspect?
So harm reduction really speaks to a few different things. In the world of addiction, it's kind of the idea of understanding that you can't change what other people are going to do. People might utilize drugs, and the best way to do that is to allow them to do it safely and in a way where they're held and can, and this speaks to all different types of substances, whether it's some of the more damaging ones, or these sort of expansive medicines that, you know, they're neither light nor dark. I think we all also get kind of mixed up in really like thinking that these are for everyone, let's just say. So that being said, the idea of harm reduction in terms of, you know, having a specific protocol on, you know, taking certain people or not taking people based on their life experience, their trauma, what medications they may or may not be on. I often work parallel to psychotherapists and doctors just as a support person and an advocate. So if a person wants to get off SSRIs, I don't give medical advice, but I can support them in asking your doctor, figuring out how to taper off in a safe way so you feel really good, and then potentially replacing that with a microdose regimen and taking psilocybin or a variety of other medicines as a tool of replacement. So that's what I mean by harm reduction.
Yeah, I love that. That's really awesome. I mean, I definitely, again, coming back to just the United States, I hope that that's kind of a journey that we go down eventually, because I don't see, like, even homeless people who maybe are addicted to drugs, I'm like, throwing them in jail isn't going to do anything for them. They're addicted to drugs. Like, their body, you know, we need to be able to help them.
versus just toss the problem away.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that concept.
Are you guys familiar with Dr. Gabor Mate?
No.
So he is an incredible kind of pillar in the community. He speaks to addiction. He wrote a book called In the Realm of Hungry Ghosts. So it's really beautiful. And he really asks the question, you know, it's not really why the addiction, it's why the pain, why the trauma, what is it that you're covering up? Even in, you know, the rooms of NA and AA, they really speak to that underlying thing, you know, like what's going on, you know, the drug use or the substance abuse is really just a symptom of the problem, you know, and as you said, putting someone in jail is not usually useful. And, you know, with these medicines, it can kind of fast track you to that spiritual experience that they talk about in AA and NA at the very end, you know, of the 12 steps. If you read the 12 steps, it's actually really beautiful work. You know, I see some of the problematic pieces of that as well, but I mean, everything has that. So, you know, yeah.
Wow. That's, I love this. Like it's so, I've done my deal of psychedelics and every time.
Yeah. What's your guys' experience?
Oh, yeah. I'm like scared of everything. I'll smoke weed and like CBD, but like, or like take CBD. I definitely want to take like mushrooms, but like, I'm scared. I don't know why. I've heard such great things. Like my boyfriend has taken them. He deals he suffers with anxiety and depression and has taken them. And he's like, it's the best thing. Like we need you to take them. And I'm like, okay. But I don't know why I'm scared.
It's totally understandable. There's an old narrative around psychedelics that, you know, came up in the 60s during that psychedelic revolution. Now we're kind of having a renaissance of, you know, uncovering some of the old stuff that Tim Leary and Richard Alpert, I don't know if you know those guys, but they're pillars in the psychedelic community. Richard Alpert is the given name of Ram Dass, and Tim Leary was a big proponent for acid. But, you know, they were Harvard professors doing research. Yeah. So, you know, we're really kind of diving into that piece, which I think can be really supportive to somebody who feels maybe a little bit scared. You know, there is science, there is data. And, you know, as I said in the harm reduction too, there's the idea of set and setting, right? So your mindset going into the situation, which is, you know, the intention piece, you know, what you're feeling. Are you super activated? Are you in an anxious state at that moment? And that's that term set and setting Tim Leary and Richard Alpert sort of coined. And then setting is your environment, you know, like I don't usually recommend taking like a big dose of psychedelics and going to a music festival. It seems good in theory, but it's a huge sensory experience. You know, you could take a little and vibe out, you know, like there's dosage level, you know, like dosage level, having a person with you that feels safe, whether it's a guide or a sitter or someone like me, where we're going to unpack a little bit deeper. Like, you know, there's so many ways to do it that can be really supportive if you do feel called.
I mean, I definitely want to try it. And sorry, Neg, I didn't mean to like interrupt you because I know that you have dabbled in your psychedelics before. So,
yeah, no, I totally get the fear. I think, I mean, it's been some time now since I've done them. And so I definitely have developed that like fear. And then obviously, like, now that I'm becoming a mom, there's like almost like this, like, is every, like, I need to be around constantly and be alert. And I mean, the one that I usually always keep a trip journal, like,
for, oh my God, that's so cute. I love drugs. That. I love that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've definitely done them at music festivals.
Oh, it's so fun. But, fun is allowed. I just mean like it, you know, sometimes it can be intense.
Yeah.
You can take a turn.
For sure. Absolutely. And I think that the one thing that my personal experience with it is that I have been able to, like, I have, I think I, yeah, I think it was, like, acid, and I had, like, I was by myself on this beach, and I, like, looked up at the sky and, like, asked myself, like, I have it written down in a journal because I remember running back to the car to write it down. But it was like, if you knew where you were supposed to be, like, where would you be? Mm. And like, it was just kind of like these like moments of like, okay, like, and it's hard too, because it's kind of like the integration of like, how do you take that into your daily life? And I think for a long time I did. And then you kind of get stuck almost, or I did kind of got stuck in this like rat race of work and da 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 da. And you almost like sometimes I'm like, oh, she was so like free and spirited and had all these things. And now I'm like, okay. So trying to remember that there is that place in your mind where you can be free from all of these anxieties and worries. And I have OCD, and I've always had OCD. So even after having those beautiful experiences, it's not like my OCD just disappears. Mm-hmm. But it did me, I think, more space to be able to work it out. And even moments where I was scared or frightened or something was going on, I did always feel like, okay, this is going to pass too. Like, and I had more of a confidence about the passing of the negative situation. Whereas in my daily life now, it's so easy to get stuck on that thought. So yeah, I mean, I think a couple of times where it's like, ooh, I shouldn't have done that after I've like taken it, but then it ends. I don't know.
Totally.
It definitely ends, but there is such like a, even like, I don't know if you guys remember the like, I don't know if it's a rumor or not true or whatnot, but it's like, oh, acid gets stuck in your bones forever. And I'm like, sometimes I'm like, oh God, I don't want to start tripping right now.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. I know there's definitely like a stigma and a whole narrative surrounding it for sure. And there's, you know, a little bit of truth to some of it. And there's also like a lot that isn't true. But I love that image of the spaciousness that psychedelics offer. And even looking through the lens of birth with it, which is just such an important, pillar of like my life experience. And I just love that archetype of birth. But when we think about it, it's like, you know, we're contracting, we're expanding, we're contracting, we're expanding. And, you know, when we get so tightly wound and in that contractive experience, like allowing for that default mode network in our brain to expand and maybe some new synapses light up and you're like, oh, wait, I've never thought about it from that perspective, or having a profound moment with the sky and nature and seeing how small and big you are and where you are in your human experience. And, you know, I think that these days, religion isn't as much of our culture anymore. I don't know. It's in some places, I suppose it is, but as a California girl, like I don't see coastal cities and that kind of thing. I don't know. I don't see a huge connection to that. And so we've really lost our connection to God, if you will. I mean, I use that as a term of convenience. You know, people understand what you're kind of talking about. Some people have an aversion to that term, but or, you know, your inner self, your wisdom, divine, like whatever you want to call it, like there's something bigger happening, you know, and we're all part of kind of that spiralic, you know, human experience. We have our cycles that are connected to the moon, connected to, you know, the seasons and everything flows in this way. And we're so used to that linear Gregorian calendar, like A, B, and C, I'm supposed to do this and I'm on this trajectory and this is my path. And really it's more of like a living, breathing entity, you know, the psychedelic experience. People talk about like, oh, the trees are breathing or whatever, you know, it's like, oh, it's all alive. You know, we're all alive. Trippy, man.
It made me think about like even just my journey with getting pregnant is I mean, I pretty so
I met my partner in July, and we kind of talked on and off, and then it was like, nah, it's not happening. And then we started back up in like January, and by March I was pregnant. And before him, I had dated somebody for like 4 years, like nothing. I didn't get pregnant in that time. And suddenly, like, I'm pregnant. And it was just so, like, how do I say it? I had a hard time, like, balancing that, because suddenly this new relationship, suddenly you're having this baby. And I was talking to one of my teachers and my friends, and she was just saying, like, I think the universe wants you to have this now. Like, this is what's happening, which is like, so because I had such a plan, because I had such a ABC to things, it's like, that's actually, it is so much more of a circle. We're all just spinning.
It's so true, you guys. It truly is. That's so beautiful. And I relate to that a lot. You know, I mean, I got pregnant in a whirlwind, intense, pretty shadowy romance there. And you just go with it and you do the best that you can. And I just, what I love about some of these medicines and even just the idea of ritual and ceremony, utilizing cards, utilizing astrology, it's something to give a language to what you're experiencing, you know? It's just about connecting to your intuition and that feminine experience. And I don't mean that in a gendered way. I mean that in, you know, that the divine feminine, which is really about how you nurture the self, how you nurture others, you know, looking deep inward and then offering and, you know, opening up. So, I love that. You have to really just reconnect to that higher place. And
yeah.
You know, it's challenging. It's not like some easy thing either. I don't mean to chalk it up like to that. Yeah.
No, because it's definitely, I mean, I oftentimes, especially recently, have been like, what is happening? Like, what is happening? I live with somebody who I haven't dated for a year. I'm having a baby. Like, what's happening? And, you know, it's often down the line, right? Like 10 years later, you're like, oh, like here it all is. Like here it
it's
all
just
is.
Happening. It's just happening.
Happening. And it's so often. And I mean, Heike, you and I talk about this on our podcast all the time. I think that the hardest thing, I think, to not be so mad at anxiety and OCD or whatnot is because you're almost angry that it's taking you away from this moment. Mm-hmm. And then there's like this sense of like, well, how do you get that control back? To say like, thanks so much, but like, I'm here. And how do you balance that? Because I think oftentimes, like, you know, it's just hard to stay in that moment or live in that moment and just be here now with what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Especially our climate of the world right now. Everybody's just
heavy.
That's
stuff.
Probably why I've been like feeling like crawling out of my skin uneasy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I totally feel like everything that's happening outside, I'm feeling it too. Like there's just no way. We're part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like,
as above, so below.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like with anxiety, like typically it's just like within myself and like I could like go outside and like try to calm myself down, but like with what's happening right now, like I can't step outside of it because it's just constant always. I can't,
it's like stepping into another body of somebody else who's having anxiety, except it's the somebody else of all of us.
For sure. For sure. I've noticed though, like I just thought about it today, like since I've started therapy, I'm new to therapy, I'm like, oh, like it's nice to be able to like put my finger on why my anxiety is happening. As because like for the longest time I was just trying to be like, no, I'm fine, it's okay, like I don't need help, just me being selfish and like actually doing the work, because doing the work is really hard. But it's nice to like pinpoint down like, okay, this is why I'm feeling this way. It's not because I'm like this broken person. So
I was just telling my son the other day something that Ram Dass said in one of his lectures, which it really speaks to that idea of, you know, allowing your thoughts to kind of float by, and that mindfulness idea, and not having, being too attached or too, you know, or be, have too much of an aversion to what's happening either, and suppress. But he says a really funny, cute thing that my son loves. So he said something along the lines of, could you imagine if I ate pizza for lunch and then I walked around introducing myself to everyone saying, hello, I'm a pizza eater, and held on so tightly to something that just was a passing moment in time. And it was a cute sort of, you know, thing to offer, analogy rather, to offer my son, because he's struggling with Zoom school and the whole thing, you know, and it's like, it's okay to, you know, make mistakes, and it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong or that you're bad or you did, you know, it's just something that happened. It was a moment in time. And I think that attachment and aversion piece, right? Like if we're pushing it away or if we're too attached and identifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I actually immediately thought of, like, you are not your mistakes in that mm-hmm. sort of way, because we do – I love that he said that, because it's true. It's like you're not going to walk around saying, I'm a pizza eater. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not going to walk around saying your mistakes. And I – you brought it up too, that what you do is kind of with people through plant medicines, like, or through these ceremonies, as you – go deeper within them. And I think that that's, to me, it's like therapy in a way, because you are diving so deep. But heck, I wouldn't say that it's selfish. I would almost think that it's like, for me at least, the thought of like being like, okay, I don't need help, it's almost like a self-preservation, because you don't want anybody to like see you. Because like I, even in stores, like when I, since I was a little girl, I hate asking people where something is. Until like recently, like I'm like, nope, I'm gonna figure it out myself. Like, I don't need your help. And so it's funny. I just think, yeah, it's, I don't necessarily think it's selfish, because it's almost like you're just self-preserving yourself. Yeah.
Well, and it's like, I've always been like, I'll figure it out myself, because I don't want to inconvenience anyone, you know, because it's just like, I'll just do it myself, or I'll figure it out myself. It's fine. And then finally I'm like, no, like, it's okay to have help, and it's the best thing to do for yourself.
Yeah. I think all of us actually need it. All of us, like, I mean, like, and what I like mean is like the whole freaking world needs a little more help, or a little more empathy of like, you know, even just like down to having just like the balance of who we are as people. And I was also like going through, like, obviously every couple has conflicts, and going through all that, it's like, you, for me, I was realizing that I was getting so stuck on the why I was right and why it was hurting me, and just finding like the balance of like, and I was telling myself, I was like, okay, think like a therapist, like think like a psychologist, like, where would you pull this from? Why did that person react how they did? What is happening within themselves, or what happened to them that made them react like that to me? Because then from there I can find understanding.
Because I know. Do you guys listen to Brené Brown? Do you guys know her? Brené Brown?
Yeah, and I know of her. I've heard like a couple of her things.
So I'm like, she's taking great. Like
notes on all these.
Oh my gosh, she is amazing. She talks about vulnerability and shame and guilt. So Brené Brown talks about vulnerability, and she just really, she's a researcher, so she's collected a lot of data on various topics. But when you were talking about something about, you know, relationship stuff, one of the things she recently said in a podcast I heard, and I took this to heart, especially with my relationship with my partner, and I've been repeating it to myself. It's even that idea, like think like a therapist, right? And she said something so simple, but so profound. She said, I'm not here to be right. I'm here to get it right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that is so intense to think about with your partner, because there's often like a push and pull or a power dynamic or a control thing that comes mm-hmm. up, and you're like, I want to be right. I want to be heard. And it's really about how you navigate, like, you know, your vulnerabilities and your communication style, of course, but that idea of getting it right. And what does that really mean? You know, like taking the ego out of it and thinking like, how do I get it right? Which I think is a really expansive, big, you know, perspective. You know, you want to move through life in kindness to yourself, most importantly.
Right.
You know, I mean, I struggle with that in a big way. So,
yeah. What do you think about, because I often too, and Heike and I are part of a book club, and our friend Nancy has talked about a philosopher, I believe she was a philosopher, her name was Simone something. Mm-hmm. I'd have to really pinpoint that. But she talked about, as far as like pain goes, is like, it's going to end with me. Like, I'm not going to mm-hmm. let it go. And so my question to you would be, what do you think about the ancestral traumas in the sense of, I'm not supposed to be right, but I'm going to get it right. Like mm-hmm. almost like, cause that just immediately made me think of like, okay, everything that's happened that hurt my mom, that her mom's mom hurt her with, and X, Y, and Z, like, I can get it right for my daughter versus needing it to be right for me. Does that make sense?
That's so beautiful. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can think of no more powerful, intuitive woman, type of woman than a pregnant woman. There are many iterations of powerful and intuitive women, but women who are pregnant are next level. So I love that you're even considering that, your ancestral like trauma, your inherited belief systems. I do a lot of work through the lens of astrology with that, because I think those outer planets mm-hmm. that are less based on the personality are really connected to our lineage and what, you know, those who came before us, our ancestors and all of that. But I do really love that idea of breaking the chain. You know, it can be this collective, big, expansive chain, like, you know, the chain of trauma in my family. And also Dr. Gabor Mate, to quote him again, I'm a little obsessed. He talks about trauma. It's just a challenging experience that wasn't integrated properly. It can be anything. It doesn't have to be a car accident. It doesn't have to be, you know, a war. It can truly be anything that was deeply challenging, where a person or a child didn't feel heard or they felt shame, you know? And so I think that that's just a really beautiful intention, you know, that's something that you could bring to the plants, because they're connected to, you know, our ancestors for sure.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah. Heike, I want you to get, so you do birth charts, right?
I do. Yeah.
I want Heike to, I've gotten mine done, and I have to, like, my teacher, I was like, I texted her, I'm like, can you send me like my info again? Because when she was reading it to me, you know, you're just so like, whoa, that's me the mm-hmm. whole time. But I really want Heike to get hers done.
Like, I want to really get mine done so bad. But all my, like, I believe my birth certificate is at my mom's house. And I texted her and I was like, when was I born? Or like, what time was I born? And she was like, I don't know. I was just like so happy that I had my baby. Like, okay, you don't know the time. I'm like, okay, Dad. Like, and then so I was like, that's amazing, but like, what time? And then I asked my dad, and he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, parents, like, give me more. So I have to go down to my mom's house, and that's
Once you do that,
what are your ladies? Do you know your sun sign? What's your sun sign, Heike?
Pisces.
Pisces. Of course you're Pisces. I see it. Yeah.
Very sensitive little daydreamer.
That's sweet.
Oh, I'm a Leo. And
Meg, a Leo. My daughter is a Leo. Oh, I love Leo energy. Yeah.
What day is your daughter born?
August 13th.
I'm July 26th. So
cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I definitely was more feisty when I was younger, or more lioness, I guess.
Sure. But,
Yeah, I do. I found so much power in having a birth chart done. Like,
even, do you know your sun or moon and rising?
I actually don't remember those. Okay. I know for certain that I have, there was like a huge realm in the underworld, like, or death, like, because I'm very
probably eighth house Scorpio Pluto energy.
I'm like extremely connected to things passing away for some reason. Like, it's so, I used to work at an animal hospital. I mean, I worked in veterinary medicine for a long time, but even like with the animals, like, I felt it, like, I don't know. I just always felt it, all of that around me, but it never was scary. It was just like peaceful, I guess, in some way, and sad.
Death doula, an animal death doula.
I actually met a gal who was a death doula in that way when I was working there, or something with death. And I was like, whoa, I didn't even know that existed. But I know that, I think Saturn sits on my moon or something like that, because I have a heart. I have no water in my chart, like barely. And I'm like, oh, I can't express very, like, it's hard for me to cry a lot. But since I've been pregnant, it's been able to flow more like waterworks.
So feminine energy is water, you know, it flows, it changes, it's strong yet soft, you know, for sure. Yeah. So
she's given me some life in there. But
do you know what sign she might be? Like, which cusp?
Sagittarius.
My son is a Sagittarius. Cool.
Oh, how funny. Yeah, I'm really excited to have a Sagittarius. I don't even think that I know a couple, but like,
yeah.
No, like, I'm really excited for that. I'm excited to have a December baby anyway.
Totally. Sag babies are, when's your estimated due date?
December 13th.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So you're in where in Northern California? In the Bay Area?
In the Bay Area. I'm in a little town called Sebastopol. And it's like an hour, a little hour and some change north of San Francisco. It's in West Sonoma County. So,
oh, wow.
Unfortunately, lots of fires near us as of lately. But we had to get evacuated a couple years ago. Super stressful.
Oh,
but it's a super cute kind of hippie town. It's like a hippie farming town. You can get to the redwoods really easily. You can get to the beach really easily and take a drive to the city too. So it's near Petaluma. That. It's near Petaluma, which is a little more well known. Lagunitas, if anybody is a beer drinker. I love living in the Bay Area. I moved there and met my husband there. So it's really like an anchor for me. But I also love, I'm a Gemini, and I have a lot of Sagittarius in my chart. So I definitely like, you know, traveling. Since I've had kids, it's harder to travel internationally a lot. But, you know, I at least love like taking little road trips. And I love Joshua Tree. I work in Joshua Tree quite a bit. I'm trying to manifest some land down there so I can build like maybe a cool center, like retreat center type thing. My husband's a contractor, which is really helpful for that.
Perfect. So convenient.
Yeah. How convenient. So hopefully, but I've been hosting retreats. I mean, the consideration of COVID is definitely like something that I take seriously. You know, as I said, lots of testing in between seeing people.
I love that you're doing that, by the way.
Yeah, it's very important. I think, you know, these are uncertain times, and I would just rather be like more careful and respectful of my community. I mean, I just don't
understand
the other, our anti-maskers, and I don't know, crazy. But that being said, I am doing a women's retreat in Joshua Tree. Everyone came running.
Is that what you're doing in November?
Yeah. Okay. So I have the retreat coming up. I have a partner who's administering some medicine. We also work with Combo, which is a Amazonian tree frog that is not psychedelic. It's legal. And it sort of induces a purge and releases these peptides that can really help with pain management as well. So I work with all types of medicines. I like animal medicines, the amphibians. And yeah, I mean, it's going to be all inclusive. We have, you know, plant-based food, vegan chefs. We have, it's on this really rad, like inhabitable art space with glamping style, private, and some double, lodging, and it's outside. So we can be expansive. We don't need to be like super close to each other indoors. And yeah, we have yoga and sound bath and a yoni steam, which you might consider after you give birth. A really beautiful experience. I know Goop kind of popularized that. Yeah. A little, yeah. But so we're going all in. It's ladies only, and you know, it'll be after the election, which is a little daring. But hopefully people will really, you know, need support, you know, and can be vulnerable about what they're moving through.
Yeah, absolutely. I think after the election will be like everyone's going to need that.
Yeah. Just yep. Like a sigh, like, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you see like such a transformation with your clients that come in like on the first day and then like on the last day of these retreats? Or are you like, whoa, like I'm so happy yes. for you. This is like incredible.
Absolutely. I mean, just seeing their bright and shiny faces, that's always how I describe it, you know? And just feeling really like, again, that kind of sigh of relief and ready to sort of move into whatever the next chapter is for them and entering a new cycle. And as I said, I really focus on integration support. So I'm usually available to people for a period of weeks at the very least. And I have many return clients, but just sort of for maintenance purposes, we dive in and, you know, I love seeing the transformations. I mean, it's deep work and sometimes there's some pretty grueling stuff that comes up. But I'm a little like Persephone, you know, I'm the goddess of the underworld. I'll dive in and be there, you know, smiling upon your return and hold your hand the whole time. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's yeah. amazing. You're incredible.
Oh, you guys are so sweet. You girls are so sweet.
Well, yeah. Like, where can people find you? Like, what can they... Like, how can they sign up for your retreat if they want to sign up for your retreat?
If someone is interested in the retreat, they can reach out directly to me, you know, through my website and email. You can follow me on Instagram. I post a lot of like astrological insights and you can see what my retreats look like there. It's at @thirdeyedoula_. And yeah. My website is thirdeyedoula.com. I just got stickers made of my logo, which is like a little mushroom.
I saw that.
And I know nobody can see, but I'll show you ladies there.
I saw that.
And I'm doing it to support USPS. So I'm sending them out like stamps. So if you order one, I'm like sending out bulk letters at the moment.
Oh, amazing.
Okay. But yeah, so I'm on like, you know, various social platforms and all that. Totally.
Oh, I love that. Well, to end this episode, we just want to ask, what would you tell your younger self? Like where, like, I don't know if it has to do with anything with like anxiety or just like where you are now, just feeling like a sense of calm and like peace, like whatever your interpretation is.
That is such a good question. I think that, especially women, you know, all people, of course, but as a woman in my teen and 20s, they were such a challenging time. I experienced so much anxiety. I actually was a cutter and I kind of was a self-harmer and experienced a lot of anxiety. And I think that what I would tell myself first and foremost is don't be so hard on yourself. You're doing really the best you can and you're most likely doing really well. And also you're good enough, you know, you're absolutely good enough, exactly as you are. And the other piece is like, I wouldn't change my journey and those experiences, because being that girl cutting her arm in like a locked closet for hours on end, experiencing panic and anxiety, having gone to that dark place, like really allows me to see my clients in a way that, you know, it's a gift. Healing doesn't have to always be grueling and painful. I don't think that that's always the case, but I do think that your hardships are an opening and they are an invitation to really do the work. So yeah. I'm sure my younger self would look at me and be like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, woo woo lady. When did you become so woo? But yeah.
I think it gave you a lot of compassion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as someone like, you know, we've known each other, but like haven't been like in each other's lives. But, you know, I've watched you like on Instagram, like, I don't know, like grow up and just like seeing your transformation from like your San Francisco days to like now, it's incredible.
Oh, and I'm just so happy for you. That's so sweet.
You're a really big inspiration.
Oh, you guys are so sweet. That means so much to me. I'm just doing the best I can. I'm trying to keep it real. I mean, I know that word authentic is very annoying and like such a social media, like, you know, concept, but I just hope that some of my vulnerability and my experience and like some of the hardships can inspire other people to like just accept it and like grow from it, you know?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I mean, yeah, like we just try to be authentic as well. And like, if you're not, and just like having this like curated life, like how can like you expect your followers to like relate to you in any level, you know? So yeah.
Absolutely.
Just, thank you so much for giving your time today. It was such thank a treat to so. Have you on. Yeah.
I'm so grateful. You ladies are so sweet. I had so much fun. Bye, ladies.
Bye. Bye.